KFI leads local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. I'm Deborah Mark.
Next on The Californians.
There's a breathtaking spot in this great land of ours where the mountains descend to the sea in more wondrous beauty than words can express. And my loved one did wait there for me.
And now for news of our own West Coast, we take you to
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Hello. Good morning, Los Angeles. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. 6:04 a.m. KFI AM 640. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. Deborah Mark. Good morning, beautiful girl.
Good morning.
I hear we have a friend.
So I walk my dog every single day, every morning, and I have a neighbor. Her name is Mimi. Somehow she connected the dots and figured out that I was on KFI. I still don't know how because I don't think I ever told her my name. Maybe I did.
It's your voice. Hello. You said good morning. She's like, I know that voice. That voice from above.
I don't know. I forgot what she said. Anyway, she listens to you every Sunday morning starting at 6, and I saw her yesterday. Oh. I asked her, I said, what time are you listening? She goes, I listen at 6 on. And her name is Mimi, and she loves KFI, and she always listens to your show.
Wow. Mimi, yes. Good morning. Thank you so much. A special shout out to Mimi, then, for getting out there early.
Yeah.
Listening to us. Thank you, Mimi. Well, Mimi, I hope you love the show today, because we've got a really big show. There's a lot happening. As you know, this has been a very political week. We have a debate coming up, the last presidential debate. I don't know if I can even call that anymore. It's like a reality show. It's more like the last installment.
The circus.
Yeah. The political circus, reality show, alleged presidential debate. The last one happening this Wednesday. And funny story about that, on a side note, I actually was talking to my boyfriend and I said, hey, let's get a group of friends and have like a dinner party at your house on Sunday and watch the debate. So I actually texted one of our friends. They have busy schedules. This guy in particular I'm talking about is a cardiologist at UCLA. And I said, you know, just want to know because I don't know if you're rounding or what you're doing. And he's like, oh, yeah, we're going to make all these. So they went out of their way anyway to make plans to be there. And then I get a text on Friday. And they're like, the debate's not on Sunday. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right.
That's too funny.
Leave it to me. I'm so not an event
planner. It's Wednesday night. KFI will be carrying it live again.
That's right. We will. Now, that it will happen Wednesday. But guess who we're going to have in studio later this morning? I'm so excited.
Who?
Former Los Angeles mayor. Two-time mayor. Thank you very much. A true Republican, really. Mayor Reardon.
Nice.
Yes, he's coming back. That's my buddy. He's coming back. We're going to talk about the state of the GOP and what's next, honestly. So it's going to be an incredible conversation. I'm really excited about that. And of course, we have your calendar section, Ciclavia or Ciclavia. Who says, what do you say? Do you say
Ciclavia?
It's Ciclavia, John. And welcome back, John.
Yay, John is back in the house.
Do you say Ciclavia or Ciclavia?
I say Ciclavia.
See, I can't. And then producer Brent, I know he's around there, he's hiding, but producer Brent is actually the cyclist. He is our resident cyclist pro in the house. And I just asked him, how do you say it? And I think you said, he said Ciclavia or Ciclavia. Which one was your version? Just say it. Don't be shy. Jump up to the
Ciclavia.
Oh, good. You.
Oh, my gosh. I say Ciclavia.
How about just sick?
Exactly. Y'all are sick. Just kidding. All right. So listen, let's get into a little bit of what's happened recently. Because a few days ago, there was a big rally over at the CNN building. Used to work there, actually, right off of Sunset. And we're here in Hollywood. And a woman was arrested for allegedly spitting on a pro-Trump supporter at this rally. And it was kind of crazy. It was one of these, you know, protests where they're like, oh, CNN, you're the Clinton News Network. I mean, this is where I just feel like this has turned into a schoolyard debate. Because your candidate should not incite and encourage this type of behavior, saying like, oh, yeah, that's the enemy. And that's actually because the system is rigged. Just own up to the substance, the policies, and, you know, disagree with, you know, over policies, with substantive, not this making up stories about the system is rigged against me because obviously I'm not doing very well in the polls. And so now, of course, you have all these people that are upset. And so now they hate the media. And that's part of it. There have been a lot of articles, by the way, recently, where a lot of my friends, and I can even tell you many stories, are afraid. They go out to cover these Trump rallies. And one of my friends is a producer for NBC. And she's been going out flying all over the country with her reporter to cover the rallies. And they have to take into consideration that they can easily be attacked. In some instances they have been, by some really, you know, staunch Trump supporters. And I think at some point you have to be like, let's be grown up about this. This is ridiculous, you know. And it scares me about the exchange of power that should be peaceful, by the way, in this democracy when it does happen, you know, come January.
Well, what about social media? I know so many people that get into fights on Facebook because of the different candidates and the different views, and people are unfriending people because they can't take it. I've seen lots of arguments on Facebook. I don't even want to look at Facebook anymore because of it.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I've seen a lot of friendships and actual couples that are splitting up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because of their political beliefs. And there again, you know, I think back actually to when I was at UCLA, and I'm still very good friends with Jen. And I know Jen sometimes is up early to listen to us. She's out in Ventura County now. But Jen is a diehard, like totally to the right conservative Republican. Clearly, I'm not. I believe in just seeking the truth. So I don't like to give myself a label at all. But I realize that I'm not that, right? And so she and I would always have major disagreements about politics. But guess what? We were friends and we're still friends. And so that doesn't define our friendship. And I think that's where people have to be careful. And so this whole idea of even if I disagree, as much as I do disagree with some of the things that are said by Trump supporters as well, showing up and spitting on people isn't the way to go. It just really isn't. So the woman, by the way, was detained on a count of battery. So you got to be careful, folks. Don't get all excited and think you can get away with that. You know who is not happy, though, also with Trump, which I thought was very interesting? Rick Caruso. And, you know, Rick Caruso is a big name here in Southern California because... He is a reason for The Grove, the Americana over in Glendale. This guy is a real estate developer. He's made his money, much like Trump, you know, through real estate. Of course, you know, Trump comes from a lineage of money and all that. And Rick Caruso, not necessarily the case, similar in that way. But again, the founder and CEO, Mr. Rick Caruso, was actually asked by TMZ a few days ago if he would ban Trump from any of his malls. And he answered, yeah. He would happily do so. And he says it would be a good thing. He went on to basically blast Trump about the kind of traits that he thinks that he possesses, that he's an angry man and that he instead should be compassionate. He said a gentleman, a professional must care about people. And he doesn't believe Trump possesses any of those traits of compassion. Oh, I tell you. And here's what's crazy. So if you're sitting there screaming at the radio saying, yeah, well, that's because Rick Caruso is a Democrat. He's one of those blue guys. Now he's very red, actually. He was, as you know, one of the most predominant Republicans here in Southern California. And he gave it a run a little bit, too. He's thought about public life. But I think he's smart enough to know you got your money. Go enjoy it, because you end up under the microscope once you run for office. It's funny. Who was it that asked me? Mayor Reardon's daughter asked me if I would run for office. It's a question if I ever considered it. And I said, no, I'm glad you asked. Gonna run for office. Watch out. Can you imagine the skeletons that'll come out? Oh, boy. You should see the look that Brent just gave me. No, take it easy. All right. When we come back, we're going to get into the ballot measures. Wow. That's a lot of work, but we're going to get into that. And I do have some really cute stories about the week. I went to a... I brought the caps. I didn't forget. Underwood Family Farms out in Moor Park. It's so great. They've got a fall festival. It's very cool. Anyway, we'll get into that later and everything that's happening there. And again, Mimi from which area?
Woodland Hills.
Mimi from Woodland Hills. Thank you for joining us this morning. This is Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640 with my girl, Deborah Mark, in the newsroom.
Voters in California approved a temporary income tax.
I know he didn't just cut me off. Making commutes less commuty. KFI.
An iHeartRadio station.
Every minute and every hour, I miss you, I miss you, I miss you more. Every stumble and each misfire, I miss you, I miss you, I miss you more.
Aww, I miss you. Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, 6:19 a.m. Good morning, KFI AM 640. iHeartRadio, my friends. Hit me up on Twitter at @E_Espinosa and on Instagram at Elizabeth Espinosa. Good morning, Zenaido. Good morning to you. Barbara Wong listening to us from Chicago. Chi-town. Oh, wait, Barbara, I have a bone to pick. You, Cubs, you. You killed my Dodgers, my Dodgers. Yeah, that's okay. It's all right. It's okay. Relax, everybody. Oh, it's just game one. We can still do this. But, Barb, it's okay. We're still friends. I love you. Also, on Twitter, Scott E. Richards, good morning. And Andy Gomez, good morning. And Joe Driver, good morning. All right, I'm going to do more shout-outs later as we go through the show. Do you have your ballot? Are you guys ready to vote? It's coming up. Do you know your Los Angeles measures? Do you know about the propositions? I know that you probably have heard about the... Yeah, that's the marijuana one. That's how they describe it. It's just like a breath thing that they do. I'm just kidding. Yeah, proposition, there is a proposition, of course, to legalize marijuana for recreational use. Boy, does that get heated. Actually, at PBS, remember I do the show at Studio SoCal for PBS SoCal, and we did a show with the Orange County Sheriff, Ms. Hutchins, and then we had two former law enforcement as well that were on that are actually for legalizing marijuana for recreational use. And it was interesting to hear both of them go back and forth. So we'll get into that. But I did want to give you a little bit of an update on, I thought every week what we should do is right before we get to the election, we are going to basically discuss some of these propositions to give you a little bit of a better understanding. I mean, if I said to you, it's Proposition 64, right? That's the one for marijuana. Deborah, are you on top of all these things?
Oh, yeah.
That's right, right? I mean, this is like, you know, like if I said right now, Proposition 50,000, well, you know exactly what that is.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And that one is?
Yeah, it's not on the ballot.
Oh, wait, that one didn't make it.
it didn't make it.
By one. We're making it up as we go. All right, so let me start with Proposition 62. Do you know what Proposition 62 is about? It is about repealing the death penalty. I know this is very controversial. Some of you are very diehard about the death penalty. And I was just actually seeing some of the commercials, and they're already going with the, this is for the victims. You need to make sure that we keep the death penalty. I'll tell you one thing. There is one thing that supporters and opponents of capital punishment will agree on, and that is that the death penalty here in California simply does not work. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you see it, because voters we hear reinstated the death penalty back in 1978, and California has executed 13 inmates. Now, the population on death row, though, has grown to nearly 750. So that's quite a bit. But no condemned inmates, okay, and this is the issue, have been put to death since 2006. We are in 2016. That's 10 years. Oh, boy. They say the leading cause of death on death row in California is, survey says, old age. Yeah, old age. So what are we doing, right? So then what's the point of having the death penalty if we're not really, you know, using it? Now, supporters, of course, will argue that the state's death penalty is an empty promise because, you know, the ultimate penalty is not really carried out. Because the appeals process drags on for decades and on and on and on. And, you know, there are those financial analysts who will argue as well that, you know, if Proposition 62 passes, okay, it would save California about $150 million a year from the $122 billion state general fund budget. Okay. And that would mostly come from reduce costs for trials, talking about all those legal appeals, okay? But, of course, you have the opposition. So the opposition says, wait a second, what about victims' rights? What about the victims? They say rather than banning capital punishment just because we're not putting people to death and it's not working, why don't we fix the system? So they're proposing that we do something like Proposition 66, okay? And it's a little strange because that would fix it. And again, if Proposition 62 and 66 pass, which is highly unlikely, the one with the most votes would take effect. So 62 is looking to ban capital punishment. 66 would look to fix it. I hate to, you know, I really don't believe in telling people what to do, especially on maybe something that I'm not so passionate about, but I will say I don't, this is tough. I mean, I always say until something were, you know, gosh, if God forbid something terrible happened to my family and I was in that situation, I probably would think differently. But right now, as a Christian believer, I don't believe that I have the right to take anyone else's life. So capital punishment is very hard for me. It's a hard one to swallow. Okay, and if I sniffled there, I'm sorry, by the way. That's because on my exciting Saturday night, Deborah Mark, I was scrubbing floors, and all that dust just killed me. I know. Who am I? Cinderella? Yeah, my friend canceled on me, and that's what happened.
Oh, wow. That doesn't sound like, no, it doesn't sound too fun.
No, it's an exciting life. I mean, who says that housekeeping can't be fun? You know, I put a little music in the
background. Some people like it.
I know. It's therapeutic.
Yes.
Problem is when I start, I can't stop. Ugh, it's so weird.
You want to come to my house?
Yeah, exactly. But I didn't mention I do a terrible job. Okay, so there's that. I'm not very good. Props to housekeepers. I couldn't do it. It's a gift. That's a skill. Also, Proposition 60, I wanted to share with you. We're going to try to get through, well, I think I'll have time for this last one, but the other one we should mention is Proposition 60, which places specific language into law mandating the use of condoms in porn films. Look at that. All the boys perked up. Now they care about the legal process. Now they want to know about the ballot. Oh, what did I tell you? Now I've got your attention. All right. So technically speaking, California already has laws requiring porn actors to use condoms. But worker safety laws say employees must be protected from contact with potentially infectious bodily fluids. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right. So Proposition 60 is the latest of many attempts, as you've heard in the past, by the president of the AIDS Healthcare Foundation to basically put that specific language in. But there's actually opposition to that. Who could that be coming from? I wonder. As I look over at my peanut gallery over to my left. Opponents say that there are other ways to protect porn actors from STDs, HIV in particular, and they refer to frequent routine testing. And by prescribing a daily HIV prevention pill, and they say there's no need to mandate porn actors to wear condoms. What do you think? I mean, when you watch your porn, does it make that much of a difference? I'm kidding. All right, fine. I'm not asking. Oh, my gosh. I'm not going to tell you the obscene head nodding happening here around me by the male counterparts of this show. I can't handle you guys. Oh, my God. Why am I blushing? I've done nothing wrong. All right. So if you would like my stance on that, I think Proposition 60 will get a yes in my book. Yeah, I want to keep everybody safe, you know? Because what if you forgot to take the pill? I'm just saying. All right, so we will continue with these propositions updates. And something tells me we will continuously come back to Proposition 60 on this show and remind you about it. All right, when we come back, Sky Slide. Remember that really exciting sky, the slide in the sky downtown LA? There's already a lawsuit. Mm-hmm. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. We'll be right back. But before we go, Deborah Mark with the very latest.
Ooh, I like your introduction. A truck has fallen over the Coronado Bridge and killed four people.
KFI AM 640, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. Good morning, buenos dias, ¿cómo están? Estamos aquí presentes, qué bueno. Oh, did I get your attention? Now you're like, oh, wait a second, what channel is this? Yes, this is the very diverse, cultural, friendly host. Why don't you, I was about to say Casper the Friendly Ghost or something silly. Hey, speaking of Casper for a second there, anybody ready for Halloween? Anybody have their costumes ready? Oh, I see everyone kind of hanging now. You're not ready? Do you know what you're going to be? Producer Brent, John, Deborah Mark? Do we? Do we, are,
I don't do Halloween.
You don't do Halloween? Why not?
I used to with my kids.
She's like, because I'm an adult and I'm responsible and I'm a grown-up.
I don't like dressing up.
Oh, now producer Brent has something to say. What was that?
I said we're grown-ups now.
So who says you have to grow up? It's a lie. Don't do it. Don't do it.
You know what? I have too many personas as is. I think Halloween is the one time where I can actually be myself.
John, are you dressing up? Our resident millennial?
No, I'm just going to participate in the Snickers and candy and Skittles and...
Oh my gosh, you guys are party poopers. Thank God for Abby here. Abby is a student at Cal State Fullerton, and she is going to be dressing up as... she's dressing up as herself. That's,
I don't have one yet.
You don't have a costume yet? Not yet? Not yet?
No, I don't have a costume yet. I guess I should start looking. Right, we have like 2 weeks.
We do have 2 weeks. I know. Well, I do like to dress up. I don't think I have anything in mind just yet. But I do have an incredible makeup artist at PBS. Her name is Tomoko. She's also my friend. And so we always try to like think of something because I love her makeup abilities. And she'll do something really awesome in my face. And then I'll just take credit for it and be like, oh, yeah, I did this. And then, is that cool? We'll see. Well, if you have any suggestions, by the way, I'm really open to that. So please tweet me and Instagram me your ideas. Okay, so Coolio. Who knows Coolio? Rapper Coolio. That's right. Raise your hand. I see hands up in the air right now. Okay, this guy is 53. He's a Los Angeles native rapper. Grammy winning, by the way, I should mention there. So apparently, artist Leon Ivy, that's his real name, he's facing 3 years in state prison. Why? Because he decides to travel through LAX, and during the routine baggage screening, right, which happens, it was last month, they found a stolen gun. Really? A stolen gun in his backpack. What's wrong with this guy? Like, do you really think you can just get through because you're a celebrity? No one's going to check your bags? So silly. So in light of the fact that, he has two prior felony convictions, 2001 for carrying a concealed weapon in a car, and then 2009 for possession of cocaine base, things aren't looking too good for him. So he's scheduled to go back into court, I think it's the 26th of this month. So it's coming up. But, gangsta paradise, you got to follow the rules there, rapper Coolio. You got to follow the rules. So we'll keep you posted if you're ever going to hear back any music, any new albums coming out of rapper Coolio. Speaking of rapper, just for a second, did you guys, anybody watch SNL last night? I did watch. I stayed up late. I was such a bad girl. But I watched the beginning, and they did the funniest Melania moments. So they're having so much fun with this whole Trump thing. But they did these funny Melania moments, and they did a video of Melania and his daughters, Trump's daughters. And they do a spinoff of Beyonce's Lemonade, I'm Sorry video. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, I'm sorry. But I promise if you Google it, it is the funniest thing. And maybe we'll look for it, producer Brent, and post it on our page, KFIAM640.com. It is so funny. Very funny. Okay, who wants a free burrito? Oh, look at Deborah, Mark, and John, and producer Brent, and Abby. Everybody hands up in the air. Wave them like you just don't care. All right, well, the Share a Meal food truck, sorry guys, is handing out 150 to 250 burritos to the homeless. Isn't that nice? Yeah. They're going to do it 5 times a week, and they're going to serve in different L.A. areas. And so it's just so sweet. This is part of a nonprofit, the Khalsa Peace Corps. And they started this program back in 2009, and they're funding it with donations and their own money. As you know, Los Angeles has an incredibly, we have such a problem with the homeless population. It's so sad. It's so intense. The number is something up there in like 28,464, but I think there's even more than that. That was January of 2016. But they say there's an 11% increase from last year. That's sad. 11%. And by the way, we have the largest number of military veterans who are homeless right here in Southern California. That's just shameful. Shameful, shameful, shameful. So I'm really hoping and praying that the city council, Mayor Garcetti, who is, of course, promised to do something about the homelessness, we really come up with a solution quicker, and all these moratoriums and these thoughts, and let's figure this out. I mean, we've got to act. We must act. But about this food, the free burritos and the food truck, this is fantastic. These guys are rock stars in my eyes. Now, I promised to share with you the latest on that sky slide, the sky slide lawsuit. Well, you know what I'm talking about, right? That crazy building. Have you? Did they call you at all, Deborah Mark? Because they were going around calling different newsrooms, asking reporters to come out and take a ride on the slide.
You know, Joe Kwan actually did it for KFI, and I think it was posted on the KFI website.
70 stories up, right? It's a glass slide, 70 stories up. So when you look down, you're like, oh my.
I'm afraid of heights. Are you?
Oh, really? This is a great assignment for you.
Oh, no way. I'd be petrified.
You poor thing. No, I'm not afraid of heights, actually. But I can't imagine having that phobia and having to do something like this. I mean, it's nearly, what, like 1,000 feet above downtown L.A.?
I mean, it would be so cool, but scary.
It is scary. So that's crazy. Apparently, this woman says that she broke her right ankle after coming down that. It's a glass enclosed attraction, right? So it's on the side of this building, which is the tallest building, by the way, west of the Mississippi. And the woman's, I guess, Gail Yashar, 57 years old. And she's saying they're negligent because they did not design it in a way that you can slow down enough before you reach the very end. So just 8 days after the slide opened, she tried it out and she was injured. Broke her right ankle. That's pretty intense. Pretty bad. She's like, there's a gap. I haven't done it. They called me to check it out and I didn't get a chance to go, but they created a gap, I guess, where, let's see, I'm trying to explain this. She says, it created a gap that trapped the covered feet of riders. Okay. Huh. So it increases the risk for serious injury for an ankle fracture. Okay. And she says that they're not warning riders of the risks as you come down the slide. Well, let's see. What about the risks of just being up 72 stories, high up in the air in downtown LA, not far from a fault line, and you never know when the big one's going to hit. I'm just saying. Don't you ever think about that? I know I have morbid thoughts, clearly, but I always wonder, where will I be the day the big one hits? I don't know why I think about that.
Well, another one of my fears. I'm full of fears this morning. Earthquakes. And so every day I think about it and I say, oh, I don't want to put it out there to the universe. And so I have to quickly stop my thoughts. And I don't think like you about where I'll be. I just think about it.
I'm like, oh my God, can you imagine what that selfie's going to look like when the big one hits? I'm going to be like, oh my God, look at me. Oh, I have dust on my face.
You really think you'll take a selfie during the big one?
Totally. I'm going to try to Instagram video that and be like, okay, here, guys, I can barely breathe. I think I don't know where I'm at. I think I was on the freeway and it collapsed on top of me. But I just want to give a shout out to, don't forget, I'm going to try to make it to my show on Sunday. Please tune in.
Do you think anybody's going to be looking at your selfie? Will anybody be left?
Oh, God. I know it's going to be left. Exactly. It's going to be like that movie with Will Smith.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
Remember? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, wait, it's not Earthquake? Oh, no, he wasn't in that. No, then I don't know what Earthquake.
I think
what
it was I Am Legend.
About.
I Am Legend.
Oh, I Am Legend. Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, with the dog. Yeah. It'll be me and a cat, my luck, and I'm terribly allergic to cats. I'll be like, great, you're my only friend left, and I'm allergic to you.
Or the roaches. You know how cockroaches,
wow,
they
really
survive.
You had to go there?
I
really
did.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay, let's go to a commercial for some kind of like raid thing or something.
That would be funny.
That would be crazy. All right, we come back. More silliness, let's be real. And some breaking news, of course. Here on Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, 6:43 a.m., KFI AM 640. Deborah Mark.
L.A. leaders are condemning a deadly mass shooting.
KFI AM 640.
An iHeart Radio station.
Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. Good morning. You know, I haven't peeked outside our windows yet. It's just darker later, so it's a little strange, right, Deborah Moore, coming into work?
It was a little strange because it was kind of drizzly, too, yeah. And you can smell the rain.
Yeah, it rained. It rained in the valley, parts of the valley yesterday, right?
Last night, yeah.
That's so bizarre.
And we may get more rain tonight and tomorrow morning.
Oh, woo-hoo. Really?
Yes.
Oh, I hope it doesn't rain for my commute. I have to drive to Anaheim at 3 a.m.
Yeah,
we're doing a good, nice story. We're doing a mobile breast mammogram, a truck, bus, whatever, that's helping communities. And so they're doing a mammogram testing out in Anaheim. So I'll be with KTLA doing the morning show, doing live shots and explaining, you know, the importance, of course, of mammograms.
Oh, that's a great story.
Yeah. Have you done that? Have you had your mammogram?
I have.
Good. Proud of you. Actually, yes. I have to reschedule mine. I had mine for last Thursday. And look, I was symptomatic. I couldn't do it. I was feeling a little bit under the weather.
Oh.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be fun to go have a mammogram when you're not feeling well.
Yeah, when you're PMSing. Okay, yeah. Fine. I'll stop talking about
TMI,
that.
A little TMI, Elizabeth.
I'll stop talking about that. But you know what I won't stop talking about is when consumers get ripped off. That really upsets me. So how many times have you gone and, you know, you go buy a car, you see a promotion, you think, okay, I'm going to go purchase, you know, this at this store or at this dealership because I'm going to get a really incredible bonus, right? Because you can purchase something, or let's focus on cars. You might get a car at a certain dealership because they have different, you know, sales and promotions. So KTLA, we actually covered the story about a bunch of angry and very frustrated, rightfully so, customers who purchased their cars, their vehicles at this Long Beach Toyota by the Hooman family, the Hooman brothers. Here's part of the story so you hear why I'm upset. And I think they rightfully should complain, and hopefully we get something resolved for them.
At Hooman Toyota, we're making a big splash in Long Beach. In fact, all over Southern California for a good reason.
Like our free tires for life. Yes, you heard it right. Free tires for life.
This commercial was seen across Southern California. Hooman Toyota of Long Beach advertising a VIP program that was too good for many customers to pass up.
We just feel like we got ripped off.
Eric Green bought this Prius from Hooman Toyota, even though he found the same car online at a lower price.
But because they were offering the VIP package, free tires for life, free oil changes for life, we felt like it was worth the extra money.
The VIP Customer Privileges Incentive Program included free oil changes, free car washes, and free tires for life.
Okay, did you hear that? Free oil service, free tires, all these VIP services for life. Yes, yeah, sign me up. I would have bought my car there, even if it meant I spent $200-$300 more than the deal I was getting at the other dealership across town, right? How is it these guys can get away with this? Because whatever reason, they shut down the doors and say, well, we're out of business now, and now a different dealer has come in to take over this store. I mean, where's Toyota, right? Corporate Toyota, who apparently is telling, you know, my colleague there, the reporter, and also telling customers, well, that's out of our hands. I mean, this is something, a deal that you entered, contractually speaking, with that dealership, and they're privately owned, right? It's almost like they lease out the space. I don't care. It's still Toyota. They're selling your brand. I still think there's a responsibility there on their part. Okay, here's more of this ridiculousness with this Toyota of Long Beach.
He replaced the tires on his Prius. Eric found out Hooman was under new ownership with a new name, West Coast Toyota, and the new owners were not honoring the VIP program.
I was upset. I even called Toyota Corporate, and Toyota Corporate took no responsibility for it either and did not offer us any help.
They have no honor and integrity. You know, why can't everyone just be honest?
Robert Brown bought his Toyota van in 2012.
We were going to buy a CR-V from Honda.
But he, too, couldn't pass up the free oil changes, car washes, and tires for life. That perk came to an end for Robert and hundreds of customers last June.
I understand Hooman has several other dealerships that are still offering these same packages to people, so I would be leery of purchasing a car from them.
Dozens of angry Toyota owners have taken to social media, including Yelp, to vent their frustration.
Somebody needs to take responsibility and step up.
I spoke to former owner Hooman Nassani over the phone, and he says the VIP program was a thank you to customers for their business and wasn't part of a contract. He also tells me he can't force West Coast Toyota to honor the program.
I think they're crooks, and I think they should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, you know what? Hold on. Forget the West Side guys, the new dealer, the new owner. I mean, truthfully, the Hooman guys, if you look them up, I'm Googling them right now. Hooman Automotive Group. It looks like they do very well. They've got Nissan, Hyundai, Volvo, Fiat, Chevrolet, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Alfa Romeo, Acura. Looks like they own the Acura in Santa Monica, I think. And there's here a message from the owner, Hooman M. Nassani. It looks like this is the same team. So they're still in business, right? They still have an automotive group. So why don't they honor, even though they're out of business from that dealership? I don't understand the logic where they can. I mean, of course, I'm not a lawyer. Where's Bill Handel when you need him? But I would love to see that contract and understand, contractually speaking, how do you tie them down to it? Because I think still, if it's in writing, at some point, they still have to honor it, even if they go out of business. Well, hold on. There's something there. I know there's something there because there was a situation similar with another business that I remember covering many moons ago. But I forget what the language was. It's all about the specific language. And Mayor Reardon is in studio now. I see him in the other room and he'll probably help me because he's a lawyer by trade. And how we can tie them down and keep them connected. Right, Deborah Mark?
I'm not going to comment on that particular story, but I'll just say that it drives me crazy when people get hosed.
Yeah, it's unfair. And, you know, this just goes to the stereotype, right? When you think of car dealerships, slimy car salespeople.
I'm the worst when I go into a car dealership when the guys come over to me. I'm like, please don't bother me. I'm just looking because I don't trust anybody.
Yeah, it's hard. And it's unfortunate because it shouldn't have to be that way. And I will say that I know some people who are very honest and do sell cars and are great. But unfortunately, there are bad apples in every business. But, you know, these guys, man, talk about giving the business a really bad name. I mean, you promote a VIP package for life, not 6 months, not 5 years, but for life, knowing that as an automotive group, you might go out of business there. And do you even tell the buyer up front, listen, this is for life, but only for, you know, if we're in business for another month. So really for life means maybe 4 weeks, if that. I mean, do they tell you that up front? And I also think consumers, and we have to be better about asking questions. You know, I recently bought a car, in fact, I bought my parents' car, and we were going through the language of the contract. And it's so funny how they put in these different little fees. Like, well, this is for the guard of the door. And I was like, well, I don't need that. Take it off. No, I don't need that. That's $400. Yeah, no, I'm good. And I'm very meticulous. I'm very methodical. No, I'm a nightmare for these guys. Like, they just don't want me. They don't even want me there.
No, they just say, here, just sign, right? And right. There are so many hidden fees. Not hidden because
you have to ask.
If you take the time to look.
Yeah, you have to ask the questions. I mean, I never feel dumb, and you should never feel stupid or, oh, I just want to look like I'm cool, like I know what I'm doing. No, you look stupid if you don't ask the question because you're assuming that you know this. Remember, they do this day in and day out, the way you do your work, and it's a muscle that's buff and it's built. This is what they do, and this is, you're entering their world. So you have to educate yourself with them in the room to say, well, what does this mean? I'm sorry, I don't understand that. Where did you get that number? Because when you're dealing with numbers, it's very objective, truthfully. That's not a subjective way of, you know, it's very objective. You figure out, oh, okay, wait a minute. This is coming from here. Why? I shouldn't be paying for this. Anyway, listen, if you're listening to me, Hooman Brothers, Hooman Automotive Group, or somebody who works for them, tell them that, you know, here at Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, I'd love to have you on. I'd love to have you on and see how you can help these families because I believe in karma. And, you know, you are in business and you want to make sure that you keep your customers happy and maybe we could send you more business your way. But you got to be upfront. You got to be a decent human being. And it doesn't sound like that's what you're doing. So hit me up. I want you on the show. All right? Okay. We got a deal. We come back. Mayor Reardon. Yeah. If not, I'll get the mayor on the case. No, I'm kidding. Los Angeles, former Los Angeles Mayor Reardon, two times, has ran this city, you know, talking huge budget. And he's just an icon. He's an incredible mind. And we're going to talk about the state of the GOP. What's next for the Republican Party as we enter the last presidential debate coming up this Wednesday? This is Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa on KFI AM 640.
KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk.
KFI leads local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks, I'm Deborah Mark.
Side, so so I reach for my 40 and I turn it up. Designated driver, take the keys to my truck. Hit the shawl cause I'm faded. Honey's in the streets, say money, yo, we made it. It feels so good in my hood. If you were from where I'm from, then you would know that I gotta get mine in a big black truck. You can get yours in a 6-4. Whatever it is, the party's underway. So tip up your cup and throw your hands up. And let me hear the party say.
Dun. Don't you feel like you're in a club right now? It's like, hey, KFI, what's going on, kids? 7:04 a.m. and it is dark outside. It's cloudy still. It rained a little bit yesterday. It might actually rain overnight tonight. But it actually feels very nice and cool here in Southern California. We're in Burbank specifically. Good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. I've been watching and following you and your comments on my Twitter and Instagram. Thank you. Keep hitting us up with your thoughts and questions, especially because I have a VIP in-house. This is very big. I mean, this man is a very, very busy man, and it's such an honor to have former Los Angeles two-time mayor Richard Reardon in the house. Big round of applause. Yeah. Mayor, thank you for joining me in studio here.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth. I've been warned about you, but here I am.
You're so cute. Well, you know what, Mayor? You are so... I've told everyone this. I go public about this about you. You're my mentor. I look up to you, and I really think that what you did for the city of Los Angeles, again, it's... I never felt you to be this... I mean, even though you belong to the Republican Party, you're not this... number one, you're not a bully. Number two, you are authentic. And number three, I think you were as transparent as a politician could be. And that's what you were. And you still are, even though you're, you know, in private life now.
Well, you know, the main thing I did with the people that work for me is I empowered them. I said, don't wait for me to tell you what to do. Just do what you think is right. And if you look at City Hall now, the people are not empowered at all.
Right. And this is part of the reason why we wanted you to come in studio today. And thank you again for coming, because we want to talk about the current political state, not just of this country, but more importantly, of the Republican Party. The GOP is in crisis. The GOP appears to be fracturing. It's just hard to watch. And so what happens? I mean, what do you believe? I mean, I know it's a loaded question. But again, we're gonna break this down. You've been watching the political debates, right? You've been watching the presidential debates. Just top of mind, what did you think?
Well, I thought maybe I was gonna buy an island on the 1,000 miles away from the United States and start my own country.
I'm moving. I want to be a citizen.
But I have a big sign over my bed that says, "Crooked lady." Or crazy man.
You're right. I mean, it really is that. It's scary. So what do we do? I mean, what?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't agree with you about the Republican Party. I think Republican Party has a lot of really good leaders, and they're coming together, and a lot of them are coming together and very critical of Trump and not putting up with that.
What is your stance on Trump?
Well,
I think the sign tells me a little bit, but just if you could elaborate.
Well, the question is between the two of them, you know.
Right.
But I think Trump is, you know, crazy about it to a great extent. But I don't think Hillary Clinton is the nicest in the world either. Like at the White House, the Secret Service thought she was terrible. She had a horrible vocabulary. Other places that she's been regularly, I've had the same report on her.
Right. But what do you make out of everything that's happened let's just go with last week. I mean, who knew that Julian Assange from WikiLeaks would not have as much power over this, the debacle of what our presidential race has been? In fact, it ends up being that Billy Bush from Access Hollywood has had more power in bringing Trump down with that audio and that video that came out.
Yeah, I mean, Trump is, he should not be in politics. You know, here he's got all these bones in his background. And you should know if you're in politics that those are going to come out against you.
And so you don't believe the GOP is in crisis?
Oh, I think Trump is in crisis, but I don't think the GOP is.
But I don't think voters anymore, you know, Republican voters are listening to the elite Republican leaders who, generally speaking, voters would say, wait a second, if the elite at the top say this guy is bad, let's go this route. They're not listening anymore. That's what it feels like.
Well, that's because you're a Democrat. That's why.
No, I'm not a Democrat. I'm nonpartisan.
What does that mean, nonpartisan?
That means most of the country doesn't identify with either party. But typically you're right. I mean, I definitely grew up. I was at UCLA. I was a Bruin Democrat. But I mean, now I realize that both parties, to me personally, are just, it's almost a little bit of the same with a different, you know.
No, I think both parties deserve to be criticized, but the Democrats with, you know, they want to have a socialistic government, and the capitalism system has worked better than anything else in history.
True. And so I know the Republicans are all about big government, let's oppose big government, which is fine. I think that's okay. But when we look at, again, what's happening with the party, I mean, the Speaker of the House is getting no love from your Republican nominee for the presidency.
That's the nominee we have, and I think...
Do you vote for that? Are you going to vote for the nominee?
I'm not going to. First of all, it's none of your business.
How dare I ask you?
But certainly, you have a difficult time deciding between the two. You have Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and neither of them should be president.
So what are you going to do?
I'm going to start my own country.
I realize that. You're going to write in your own name. Richard Reardon for president.
Well, I'll get to pocket all of the taxes.
But I mean, it's really a weird time. I mean, have you ever seen anything like this?
No.
Mayor, how old are you, Mayor? Let's share with the world.
How old am I?
Yes.
Yesterday or today? No,
today.
I'm 86.
86. You've seen a lot of things in your time. This is craziness what we're seeing in this country. I think Putin is laughing, watching us.
Yeah, but, you know, 86, you've learned all the dirty tricks in the book.
I'm serious. What is going through? I mean, we have the drama between, you know, the scandal with Trump groping women, and now you got the emails that are leaked on Hillary Clinton's side. This doesn't even seem real. I think that what's scary also, Mayor, is the fact that when there will be, because there will be inevitably in January, an exchange of power, correct?
Yeah, right.
In a democracy, it should be peaceful. It doesn't feel like anything's going to be resolved. We are so divided in this nation right now.
Well, what you need is let's take Obama. Let's take Dick Reardon. As mayor, I appointed the best people. I empowered them. Obama hasn't done that. You know, people who are his advisors have no say at all under him.
Okay, so on that note, why don't you say that possibly, and I'm not, please, do not take this as I'm proposing Hillary is the answer, but don't you think when you put the two up there, you think, well, Trump's not going to listen to anybody. He's not going to put anybody else because he is, in his mind, the guy who respects women the most. I mean, he tweets about it at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then you have Hillary Clinton that at least comes off like someone who will appoint other people to do something that she doesn't know how to do.
No, if you're right, then that's a way to vote. I'm not sure about Hillary that way. But and Trump, I just try to picture him appointing other people, and I can't see the picture.
Yeah, I know. The Polaroid's not coming through. It just won't come through. Well, it's 7:12, so we're going to take a break. But when we come right back, we're gonna delve a little bit more into the fact that there are those who believe that the GOP is fracturing, and that it may just be that now you're going to have several political parties possibly in the future. But Mayor Reardon doesn't necessarily believe that. So we're going to delve into that and talk a little bit about your expectations for the debate this Wednesday and your analysis of what's happened so far. Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa.
Ask me why some people call me a rhino. Do you know what that is?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, that too, Mayor.
Republican in name only, but...
That's right. You are a rhino. All right. Deborah Mark in the newsroom with the very latest KFI AM 640.
Police are still looking for the people who shot...
Фирма Transceptor Technology приступила к производству компьютеров персональный спутник.
7:19 a.m. It's Mayor Reardon. He's in studio. He's got the power, my friends. This is KFI AM 640, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. Thank you so much, Mayor Reardon, for being in studio with me talking about politics, because last Sunday was the second presidential debate between Trump and Clinton, and then Wednesday is the next debate. I was, you know, we talked about watching it together, actually. So what's the story? Are we going to do tequila shots? Are we going to watch it together Wednesday?
Well, you know, I don't wish that on myself.
What was our agreement?
Can you find somebody else?
wait, come on. What was our agreement? Every time he said huge and she said, I don't know, Obama or Michelle Obama, we would do tequila shots. Oh, Mayor, what to do with this election? It has been quite a party, to say the least. In fact, do you have any expectations for this Wednesday? I mean, in light of all that's come out with the WikiLeaks and then the groping and the more groping. Of course,
I keep hoping that Trump will do better, but he hasn't. And the question is, you know, who do we want as president? Now, if you look at what Sanders.
Yes, Bernie Sanders.
I mean, he was a nicer guy of them all, but he was the scariest because he was a socialist. And if we became a socialist country, the country would go to hell.
So you think his policies were scary?
The policies are scary.
Because I just watched him on, I watched John Boehner, right? Former House Speaker on Vice. He was being interviewed by Shane, who is the founder of Vice. That's a network on HBO. And it was interesting to see, to watch this interview, and Boehner basically call Bernie Sanders one of the most honest politicians he'd ever met. He said he was a very bitter old guy that didn't really talk to anybody in Congress. So it was weird for him to see how popular he'd become, especially with young people, right? With millennials. Right. But I think you have that same je ne sais quoi. You have a certain charm, Mayor, that, you know, you were in the inner city when you were running for office and when you were in office and even when you ran for governor. I mean, a lot of folks in the inner city love you. And you, I mean, truthfully, are a one percenter now, but you've worked very hard. But you can relate to everyone. And I think that is a real gift.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. And I feel that. I feel that I'm loved by the blacks and the browns and even the Irish.
Even the Irish. Even your own people. How crazy is that? So, I mean, here you got Paul Ryan, though, who it seems that he, I mean, again, he announced he's not defending Trump anymore. He's done with that. Because now it almost feels like they've given up. They're going to lose. That's I feel like that's the secret message being sent out. We're going to lose the election. So let's see if we could just save the Senate, Congress, and hold on.
Okay. Well, Ryan is saying, okay, make me the leader after when Trump goes into the wastebasket. And I think that's what, you know, I'm hoping for, that if Trump does go into the wastebasket, that we come out with some great Republican leaders.
And don't you think the party has to change its tune a little bit? There's too much anger, pessimism. Everything is so bad. It's the end of the world.
Oh, you know, that's true of both parties and everything. I know a lot of the Republicans who are elected, I know, are not that way.
Well, tell me about when you were, I remember actually chatting with you at your home. Thank you for inviting me. And we talked about... We talked about how you had Jeb Bush over, and this is during the primary.
Yeah.
And I know you tried to help him.
Yeah, I like to, tell him, like, President Reagan gave me 2 hours of his time when I was running for mayor, and what he told me was, forget being brilliant, just have the audience like you and see that you like the audience. That's what you. That's how you get people's votes.
It's a popularity contest?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And that's probably part of why he has done so well, I think, Trump, because he is a reality show star. I mean, the guy is a celebrity. And so he has that on his side. Well, okay, so let's talk a little bit about California. What about our down-ticket candidates? What do you think about this race for Barbara Boxer's seat?
Well, you know, it hurts me that the woman from San Francisco, I've forgotten her name.
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris.
I always say her name.
It looks like she's going to win, but she is so liberal. And you look what she did. She permitted an immigrant who had a criminal record of major crimes, released him, while he was waited to be sent back to Mexico, and he murdered somebody, murdered a totally innocent person.
And so what about Loretta Sanchez? Two Democrats, by the way. This is what's bizarre, right? I mean, here there's not even a Republican running.
Well, I think I love Latinos are the most beautiful, wonderful people in the world.
And when you say that, you're looking at me. Uh-huh. Keep going.
You Latina?
I am, Mayor. Breaking news.
I changed my mind.
You are too much. But who do you, I mean, okay, so Sanchez, she's an interesting bird.
Yeah, I like her. She's a little, you know, crazy. She talks whatever's on her mind. But I know her pretty well, and I think she's a wonderful person.
Yeah, but she's got no shot, huh? At this point, she's done? Yeah, she did something weird. What was that? What do we call that? Some weird, like, weird signage or something. I forget what that's called during the debate, after her debate. Okay, so interesting. We're seeing a lot of ads here, of course, against Trump, and that's from the billionaire Tom Steyer, who is also a Democrat and looks like he's going to hopefully run for office, or he wants to be governor. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, he's brilliant. He was my son's roommate in high school at Exeter, which is a boarding school and the toughest school in the country. And they respected each other. He gave me a lot of money when I ran for governor. But, a lot of his things are on the climate. And I think he has to back off on that and show people that he's a successful businessman. He could manage the state of California better than anybody that's been there lately. And I think he can be elected that way and leave the ultra-liberal things on the side until he's turned California around.
What do you think Californians really care about at the end of the day, in your mind? If you were running for office right now, if you were in Trump's position, what would you be focusing on?
Well, I think like anybody else, they'd be posted on having a successful economy, you know, having jobs, not having the bureaucracies we have in L.A. and in Sacramento, and make it easy to have jobs, to make it easy to appeal to major corporations to move into California rather than leave California. And unfortunately, under the Democrats, it's going the opposite way. The amount of taxes to be paid, the bureaucracy, the rules, everything, you know, just scare people away.
Right. But socially, it's funny. You're such a Democrat at heart.
Pardon?
You're such a Democrat at heart, socially speaking. No. Again, you're a rhino, remember?
Well, socially, economically, I'm a Republican. Socially, I don't know whether you call a Democrat. Socially, I'm a nice guy.
You're a party guy. All right, we come back. Mayor Reardon breaking down, giving us some seriously important analysis on basically all things politics, especially with this very heated political presidential race. So when we come back, more with Mayor Reardon. Thank you, Mayor, for being here. And again, Rhino standing for Republican
in name only.
KFI AM 640, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espino. So Trevor Mark in the newsroom with the latest.
A truck has fallen over the Coronado Bridge and killed four people.
Oh, it's a little cloudy out, but the sun will shine. It will come through. Good morning, KFI AM 640, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. He is an author. He is a father. He is a friend. He is a mentor. He was Los Angeles mayor twice, ran for governor, but we wanted to keep him here in Los Angeles. So he's still here. Mayor Reardon in the house. Mayor, good morning, and thank you for sticking around.
Well, good morning to you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Mayor. You are really an expert when it comes to politics, and I know that you were advising Jeb Bush. You've had pretty much everybody under the sun in terms of political life. You've actually supported Obama the first round.
The first round I did, but I didn't the second because he disappointed me.
Right, and he disappointed a lot of people, including myself. Tell me a little bit about, we're breaking down the state of affairs right now for the GOP, but also just in general politics here in California, and then you have the presidential race. The debate, the last one, is Wednesday. We will hopefully sit down and watch that together. I'm excited. Should Trump, here's the million-dollar question, Should Donald Trump, in your opinion, Mayor, as a Republican, should he step down?
Well, I think it would be the best thing that could happen to the Republican Party if he would step down and let the Republicans put somebody in who everybody respects. And that doesn't necessarily say that Trump is terrible, but it just says that he's not working.
This late in the game, you think that would be feasible? I mean, to actually even defeat Clinton? If you brought somebody else in?
I think so, if it's the right person who people know who it is. It's Ryan or somebody like that.
What about Pence? What do you think of him?
Well, he's good, but I don't think people know who he is.
You said he's irrelevant.
He's irrelevant because, and the vice presidents have no power.
Right. And then there's that bizarro situation where during the last debate, when asked about Putin and the fact that Pence blasted him and Trump has been praising him, he said, oh, well, we disagree. We haven't talked. It was the most awkward moment of that debate, right?
Yeah.
It's the circus.
And I think, you know, you say, what is our country coming to when you listen to those debates?
Yeah. You feel the same way, right?
Right.
Okay, so, let's come home here in Los Angeles, because I think local politics affects us the most, truthfully. Mm. And so you were explaining to me a second ago how city council works. Now, there is an initiative that actually we tackled at PBS on my talk show, Studio SoCal, and it's called, the initiative is called the Neighborhood Integrity Initiative. And in essence, it's basically... It would, among other things, block certain kinds of new development in the city of Los Angeles for 2 years. And it would force the city of Los Angeles to update its general plan. And that meaning, because we're looking at gentrification in Los Angeles, and it's incredible. Like, I turn to the left, I turn to the right off the 110 freeway, and I see new buildings everywhere. I don't know that we have the infrastructure, you know, for transportation to have this many more humans and cars in L.A. What are your thoughts on what's happening here?
Well, I suggest anybody drive to downtown L.A. and look and see what's going on. It's crazy. Right near the pantry, two of the three lanes that go by the pantry are closed because I questioned them, and they said because the developer told us, you know, what to do, told the city employees. And it's crazy, but in effect, the developers are the ones that give the most money to the elected officials. And whoever the person who's on the city council, their district, they have, in fact, total power over that because each person gives the other one in the city council control because they don't want that person to vote against them.
Wow. So you believe that we need to change the power grid and maybe give the mayor more of that?
Yeah, I think
authority?
That what we have to do is give the mayor the total power so the public can know who to blame. And you may not like the mayor or it's irrelevant, but eventually you'll know that whoever you elect as mayor is the one that you can give credit to or you can blame.
Right. We have to know who to go to. You're right.
Right.
So how would you grade our current mayor, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti?
Well, he's a good looking guy. He's brilliant. He's a Rhodes Scholar. Walks well, but he has no courage to do anything hard. The city employees now, the ones I've talked to, said his reputation is being one who only makes marathons work and parties work on the streets and nothing else. Well, I don't know if that's a good description, but I really think, and I think the other thing is he has to empower the people around him. And if I'll pat myself on the back and say my brilliance was I hired the best people and I totally empowered them. I said, come in to the office in the morning thinking what L.A. needs and don't think that you have to go to the mayor and ask the mayor's permission. You just do it.
Well, and Mayor, I have to say to your credit, what I like about you, too, is the fact that you've always even said to me, you have to speak to everybody. So when you would go into the office, you know, even in your private life and your investments, you know, you're one of the first VCs when it comes to Silicon Valley and computers, yeah. Right? You got to talk to the janitor as much as you talk to the CEO of a company because you get your information and your intel from everyone.
Yeah, that's one I think. I say be curious about everybody, how they think, including the president of the company and including the janitor.
Very important. Very important. What do you think of Los Angeles City Council President Herb Wesson?
Well, I think, you know, as they go, he's a strong, good guy, a lot of power. But the other side is it's a mess. As I mentioned before, each council person essentially has total power in their own district.
Okay, and what about the death penalty? The proposition is on the ballot for November. Should we abolish the death penalty?
No, I think we should reform it. Right now, you know, people have been in there for 30 years. They die of old age rather than be executed.
Yeah, it's a leading cause.
And the new initiative provides that within five years that they have the inmate. A lawyer.
Oh, I see.
And that the judge has to appoint a lawyer right away, and the lawyers can't back out on doing it. So that the decision on that person is fair, but it's fair within a short period of time.
Okay. And what about, but that's got to be, isn't that a little bit tough though, Mayor? I mean, you're a good Catholic. You believe in the death penalty?
Yeah, I do, because it's a deterrent.
Okay.
It's a deterrent. You know, people, if you look at the statistics, there's like 250 children who have been murdered by these people or in death row. And you say, you want to deter people from wanting to do that. Say, if I do this, if I pull that trigger, I may be executed. And they won't. So I think you have to do that. You obviously have to be fair and just to people when you do it. Let the juries and the prosecution determine that. And I think it's the best thing going. It works.
And Mayor, we're considering also legalizing marijuana. Marijuana for recreational use. Can you think about the parties that we would have at your pad. I'm just saying. I mean, that would be a great fiesta. Okay, wait, but don't answer just yet. When we come back, Mayor Reardon is going to answer whether or not he's going to have cannabis at his next party, because it may be legal.
Oh my God.
Mayor's like, I'm out of here. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. We'll talk more politics with Mayor Reardon. KFI AM 640. Deborah Mark in the newsroom.
Voters in California had approved a temporary income tax on the...
Do it, baby.
My God. What's happened?
Come on, Mayor. Sing it with me. Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
I love this man. That's right. That's Mayor Reardon in the house, ladies and gentlemen. 7:48 a.m. KFI AM 640, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. Mayor, we are talking politics, and now we're going to talk about cannabis. Marijuana. My mom says no to marijuana. My mom is so funny about that. But it's a serious topic in that we, of course, it sounds like we were, right? California was the first state to legalize medical marijuana in 1996. And now we're looking at legalizing it for recreational use, much like Colorado has done.
Right. Well, I think the first thing we should do is wait a few years and see what happens in Colorado and any other states that do it. Colorado is seeing a lot of problems because of marijuana.
They would argue otherwise.
Yeah. Well, two of the major things that hit me is marijuana today is over five times more powerful than it was 20 years ago when we experimented on it, and if it's a cookie or anything like that, it's about 30 times more powerful. And particularly if we have this new law, children will be able to get their hands on marijuana anytime they want. And marijuana, this power is likely to lead to heroin and cocaine and things like that. It's terrible. There are some good arguments in favor of doing it. One is that you don't have all these crooks giving
the
money
market
to the politicians and to the police and things like that.
Right.
But my vote is against it.
So you're talking about Proposition 64 here,
right,
of course. It would allow you to grow. You have to apply for a grow license. And it is an interesting scenario in that, you know, there are some standards, there are some requirements. It's not like, you know, hey, everybody gets a get a hold on the plant. But there is the question about it being a gateway drug. There is a question about its potency. And I've heard that a lot. In fact, Orange County Sheriff Hutchins was with us at PBS and talked about that and felt like that was her biggest concern. But we also had, interesting, Mayor, we had a retired lieutenant from Torrance who's part of an organization that is for legalizing cannabis for recreational use. And their argument is that it makes us safer, which I thought was interesting. And this is someone coming from law enforcement saying that there is the public safety side in that you don't hear people on cannabis going crazy, hurting people. I mean, if anything, they argue alcohol is more of a terrible drug, if you will, on the human body.
Well, there's something good to those arguments, but the bottom line is, I think, just be patient. Don't move too quickly. Let's not. And also, maybe we have to say you cannot sell marijuana in any form other than smoking it.
Yeah. I mean, but what about the tax revenue from cannabis?
Oh, that should be irrelevant. I think that is a weak argument.
Why?
Because you're saying, okay, we can do that. We can say you can shoot somebody if you pay a higher tax.
Right. You think it's just we're just really self-destruct? Self-destruction, you believe? I mean, I could see how there are those who feel that if the state's in crisis, here's a way of bringing in some revenue. People are doing it anyway. You know, you got the medical cannabis path for, you know, so if these kids are going to do something bad or going to get their hands on it, they're doing it as we speak.
Well, it's a little scary because people my age or even 20 years younger than me, you know, grew up with taking a little bit of marijuana. And not that powerful marijuana.
Are you admitting right now to having smoked like Bill Clinton a little bit? Did you actually inhale, Mayor?
Okay, the truth is...
You're so adorable.
I had one marijuana smoke. I was at some party with people.
So cute.
And I had one, and I did inhale it, and I felt no effect on it, but I've never had any since then.
No. You're so cute. Look at him, a little smile, a little look on his face.
Okay.
But that's what I'm talking about. That transparency is everything, right? That authenticity is what I love about you. So, okay, so you did, and you're like, I'm over it. No big deal. Let's move on. Let's build an empire, which is what you've done.
But I think, you have to be patient. You have to look at the ramifications. I mentioned if you have cookies and things, they're about 30 times more powerful. And that can be very damaging to a child or something who may... commit crimes because of that.
Well, and you talk about things that can be damaging. That's one of the most, you know, hotly contested, I would argue, propositions on the ballot. But I also wanted to share with you, you know, the big story that also came out as we've been talking about the presidential race and all the circus that it has been. Oh, boy. So Fox Business Network host Lou Dobbs, remember him from CNN? He got booted out of there as well. Apparently, he apologized on Thursday because he tweeted out the phone number and the address of the woman, one of many, of course, now, who has accused Donald Trump of inappropriately touching her. And of course, now he's apologizing and he's taking it away. But his whole thing was that this is the dirtiest campaign in our history. But what is wrong with us now, even media, that we're getting involved to that level?
Yeah, that is it's terrible, terrible that you can't trust anything you're doing. You know, I teach at UCLA. And
you do.
I remember one time only it happened. I was talking to one of my female students before class, and somebody took a picture of it, and within 5 minutes it was on Facebook.
You're kidding. And nothing. All 50 girlfriends were upset at you.
No, quite the opposite. No, nothing ever came of it. I mean, because we were just...
You're talking to a student, and she happened to be a woman. That's so silly. Well, and you teach at the business school at Anderson over at UCLA. Yeah, you're very busy. In fact, that thank you for the setup there, because I was going to ask you what you've been up to lately. And you're teaching at UCLA Business School.
Right. And I'm chairman of 12 African-American charter schools and investments. I have investments all over the place, which has made me quite wealthy. But it also means everybody who wants money is call gives me a call that the president of a college, if they're in L.A., want to meet with me and discuss their problems, not that they want money from me.
Mayor, how do you do it all? I mean, it is incredible. I mean, you've had some health scares, but you are so healthy. It's funny. I was thinking about you because today is, and I don't know how to pronounce it, Ciclavia, however you wish to pronounce. But you're a huge cyclist. You've done that before, haven't you?
Oh, I love it. I've done a lot of, actually, when I was mayor, I would ride it down to my office now and then and ride my bike.
That's amazing.
But the medical things I had this 15-year-old girl operate on me when I had a problem. And it turned out she wasn't 15. She had gone to Columbia Medical School, but she looked young.
I bet. You walk in the OR, you're like, you're kidding me. That is so great. And you have such an incredible family that supports you and loves you. I know Trish might be listening. Your daughter, Trish, who's a sweetheart.
Well, she may, when I get home, she may say, you shouldn't have said this.
Well, actually, on that note, I did want to ask you about the proposition about forcing porn actors to wear condoms. Your thoughts? No, I'm kidding. Don't answer that. Oh, Mayor, you are so much fun. Thank you so much for joining me. And we are going to watch the debate together. We have a date. We have a date on Wednesday. And I can't wait. So you'll have
for a minute, you, with somebody else, talk about gentrification. I think it's destroying the city in a lot of ways. The traffic is terrible, et cetera. Yeah.
We have to do something about it.
Elizabeth, thank you very much.
Mayor Reardon, thank you so much. And again, tweet us your thoughts and Instagram at Elizabeth Espinosa. Mayor, you're at Richard J. Reardon also if you want to hit up the mayor. I will see you guys back next Sunday. Deborah Mark, thank you. Producer Brent, John, thank you for being here. Our calendar section, it's there. We will post it on the page because we've got the mayor in studio. We need to talk to the mayor. And have an incredible Sunday. The Jesus Christ Show is next. This has been Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa on KFI AM 640.